Wow, that was the quickest everybody got ready. Wow. What's that authoritative? Mark must have turned me up. That's what it was. Something worked anyway. Well, anyway, thank you. Thank you for staying, even though you knew I was preaching. That's good. But it's always good to be able to share with you. We're continuing. Bauer's going to do, I think he's still going to do part two of what he preached on last week. He'll do that next week. I am speaking this week, and this is a series, it's a short series on the Holy Spirit in the church. And to do a short series on the Holy Spirit is, you know, like eating one potato chip to me. You just can't do it. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit many times is seen by people as that relative you don't want to invite to dinner. He's just, you know, we don't know what to do with him. And we want to maybe shed some light on this. This is by no means a complete or on the subject I'm going to talk about with the Holy Spirit. It's not complete. There is so much more that could be said, but I'm going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit and relationships. And you're going, Holy Spirit relationships? You know, if you have a daughters, you want to make sure the Holy Spirit is with them when they have a relationship, you see. It's one of those things, but no. We want to look at how we relate to the Holy Spirit and how we relate to others because of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to look at. So I want to read, there's a number of passages, and a lot of these passages, we might even stop in the middle and say a few things, or I'll emphasize a couple of things. But we're going to start with John 16, 7 through 15, and I will read this, and then we will pray and go from there. So John 16, verses 7 through 15, this is the Word of God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, this is Jesus talking, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and to you, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All, listen to this, verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that you will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you see the unity there between the Father and the Son and the Spirit? It's all, you're not going to get mixed messages from this God that we have. And too often we separate the persons of the Trinity, and I am not here to explain the Trinity to you today. That's just not going to happen, because I'm a firm believer is that you can't truly explain it. You can have your egg and try to say, well, there's a shell, there's a yolk, there's a white, you know. You can have that, you can do that. You can say there's a pencil, there's lead, and there's wood, and there's an eraser. I don't know who the eraser is, but there's a lot of different things and lessons we've had over the years on the persons of, but they blend together in a way that does not contradict, does not do something outside all the others. That's how God works. That's how he functions. And we want to look at this a little closer. My main point is, oh, wait a minute, I want to pray first. I think you want me to pray first. So, Father, as we look at this word, as we look at your scripture, we ask, Lord, that you would give guidance by your Spirit, that you would open our eyes to things today that would help us to grow in you. Lord, that you would help us today, that we would see more of what the Spirit does in our lives. And Lord, that we would desire that. We ask, Lord, for a better relationship with the full Godhead, including the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would, out of this, help us get reacquainted with you. So we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my main point this morning, our ever-growing relationship with the Holy Spirit helps us with our relationships with one another. Our ever-growing relationship with the Holy Spirit helps us with our relationship with one another. We're going to look at a couple of different things, but I want to look at the first point here is the Holy Spirit is not a box dweller, okay? The Holy Spirit is not a box dweller. I don't know if any of you have heard this children's song before. We will not be singing this in this church. It is very strange and odd, but the title is Jesus in a Box. Has anyone ever heard of that song before? Jesus in a Box. Thank you. Good. Jesus in a Box, and the words go like this. I'm not singing it, okay? The words go like this. I wish I had a little red box. Some say a white box. I wish I had a little red box to put my Jesus in. I'd take him out and kiss, 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 and put him back in again. And I'm going, what in the world? And then it goes on. It says, I wish I had a little blue box to put the disciples in. I'd take them out and say, hidey-ho, and put them back in again. Then it goes, I wish I had a rusty old box and put the devil in. I'd take him out and spank him and put him back in again. I'm going, who wrote this thing? So we won't be singing it. The thing is about this song, it doesn't even give the Holy Spirit a box. The Holy Spirit's left totally out of the song. So that says there's something wrong with the song, see, okay? But what we're going to do is look at this. And kids' songs show us values, and I'm sure that whoever wrote that thought there was something good and he was teaching a lesson at some point in time. But they teach us to love the Lord, the teachings of the disciples, how good they are, and all of that. But we need to look at it a little more deeper. Many times we put what we feel are precious things to us, and we put them in a safe place. Okay, sometimes it's very precious to us, but we put it in a safe place. And there it stays. Take it out once in a while and admire it. You know, you have a special piece of jewelry you only wear on certain nights, or people that steal paintings, they hide them for years and take them out once, they look them back. You know, things like that. They hide them away, and they put them in. Sometimes, when we don't fully understand something, we set it aside. When we don't understand what's going on, but just because we don't get it, it doesn't mean that we should pack it away. I think we can especially do that. I'm not saying all of you do, but I think even in my history, I can see how we can especially set the Holy Spirit in a different category and set him aside. We like the Father. We can understand what a Father is. Father has a relationship. We understand that whole. The Son, Jesus, he's a brother in the Lord. He's the Lord. We can understand the relational value. But when it comes to the Spirit, that's very nebulous. Although it says God is Spirit. But we get these things in our head and we kind of put them in this place where, what do we do with a relationship with the Holy Spirit? He's important. The third person of the Trinity is important. So what is our relationship with him? We need to get a greater understanding of what that is. I'm not sure, again, what your beliefs are. I mean, if you go to the spectrum of beliefs in the Holy Spirit, I mean, you can go, you're way over Pentecostal or you're way over cessationist, and you figure out where you're going to go after that. Whatever your beliefs, we want to look at something this morning, and I want you to do me a favor. I want you to set aside what you feel you believe about the Holy Spirit this morning. Just set it aside, because all we're going to do is look at Scripture today. I don't even have any quotes from people, except for that nice little song that we did earlier. We're just looking at Scripture. What does Scripture say? And I gathered some things together that I'm hoping that we can get like a better understanding of our relationship with the Holy Spirit and how he benefits our relationships with others. We want a fresh look. I think I'll skip that. You know, I do think, everybody, you know me, you know how many books I have in my study and things like that. And I have a degree in theology. I love Puritan writers, but I also like charismatic writers. I read a lot of different things. And I don't want to say that those aren't helpful. So I want to say that right up front. I'm not saying get rid of all your theology. The Bible is the only thing you can read the rest of your life. I'm not saying that at all. But I want to say that if we get too far into our theological studies, and I mean, I have my favorite writers. I know a lot of you guys do too. But if I start to get in this habit of saying, you know, I really like what this guy does. Do I agree with it? Do I agree with it? Do I agree with it? And they go back and forth and back and forth. And we're always questioning what writers say, because we want to make sure that we think they're biblical. And then what happens is we get into that habit of looking at it in a certain way. And my concern is that sometimes we start looking at Scripture that way. Oh, do I agree with it? Do I agree? And of course you wouldn't say that that's what you do, but I don't know if it's muscle memory or what, if we start to look at things a certain way, we'll start to criticize or analyze or whatever in a certain way, whatever it is. So we want to be careful as to what happens as we look at that. And hopefully this will give us some good things. One of the greatest misunderstandings, I think, of the Holy Spirit and the relationship is the aspect of the Old Testament Holy Spirit versus the New Testament Holy Spirit. I think a lot of people go, well, that was the Old Testament. Or what did he do in the Old Testament? What was going on in there? And look at the New Testament. Well, we like it for this part, but we don't like it for this part or this and that. We start to get these ideas. So I want to just review a little bit, a few verses. And again, this is not exhaustive by any sense of the imagination, but we're going to look at these things because I think they're the same person. The Holy Spirit of the Old Testament is the same one of the New Testament. They didn't get a new person like in a series where one of the series leaves, you know, and they said, okay, we got a new Holy Spirit here played by the other Holy Spirit. No, that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. In creation, it started in creation. In the beginning, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form or void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. A face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So Holy Spirit was kind of active, moving around way back then. Okay, Numbers. Let's start getting into this a little more. Numbers 27:18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Well, he was of the Spirit. In whom is the Spirit. He's in him. Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. Now this is all Old Testament. Spirit, we want the Spirit to lead, we want the Spirit to act. David, Bauer even mentioned it this morning. Cast me not away from your presence in Psalm 51. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Numbers 11:25, regarding Moses. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders, and when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. Well, what's going on? This almost sounds like it's Pentecost. You know, we don't know what's going on there. And then, of course, we have what I call, and I don't know if anybody else calls it this, but when I was looking at it, I said, I'm going to call it that Holy Spirit transitional passage in the Old Testament. And that's Joel, which Bauer mentioned last week. Joel 2:28-29, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm old. And your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit. It's prophetic for the future. So the Holy Spirit is moving around and doing things, and the Holy Spirit is very active in the Old Testament as well. See, the Lord's the same. He is the one constant. God is the one constant. It says in Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. So let's not change the Lord from Old Testament to New Testament. Then, of course, in Hebrews 3:18, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is what I'm seeing. If the Holy Spirit filled or came upon or was present or led people in the Old Testament, and God does not change, wouldn't he also come upon, fill, be present, and lead people in the New Testament? I think so. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. I think that's pretty much what it is. The fact is involvement, according Jesus, to be more interactive. Jesus wanted them to be more interactive with the Spirit because Jesus wasn't going to be there. So in light of the fact that God, who does not change, lets us see how the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus, and it's just like the Father. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. The whole package deal, we don't put in a box because we're afraid of him, or we don't understand him, or we don't know what to do with him. It sets us up to have a deepening relationship with God. When we have a view of the Holy Spirit that is interactive, and Jesus specifically, which we'll see later, specifically sent him for the purpose of interaction with his people, we're going to see that we can have a deepening, an ongoing relationship with him. He wants to have a deepening, ongoing relationship with us. That's why he sent the Spirit. So let's not put him in a box. So let's remove that now, set that not in a box, but let's set it over to the side, and let's look at the second point. The Holy Spirit is our favorite dinner guest. The Holy Spirit is our favorite dinner guest. In Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 19. It says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. You know, the book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible, and you have to remember, Jesus is already resurrected. The Spirit has already come, and we want to read it in light of that. So verse 19, those whom I love I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? It's talking about relational here. It's very relational. It's a relationship here. It's personal. It's positional. It's ongoing. It's communicative. There's a relationship that has to grow and continue for the church to be able to expand and people hear the gospel. That is something that is very important. If you look back, the most horrible thing that happened in the history of the world was the break of the relationship between God and man. That's the worst thing that has ever happened. Because of that, God brought about a solution to that relationship. The greatest act of love that was ever created was the sending of his son to die for our sins. Our problem isn't God's desire and willingness to relate for his people. That God wants to do that. God set it up to do that. He wants us to relate. He wants us to have some sort of ongoing, deepening knowledge of one another that's only can be done by God. The problem is, it's whether the people decide they like that. That's the ongoing battle. God wants to get to know us. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I want to get to know God, but... And we start putting these things. Maybe I don't like it. I'm not sure what Scripture says about it. I don't know if I agree with this. And we kind of put these limits on God, and it really hinders our relationship with him. And it's usually fear that does that. Now, listen, fear, stubbornness sometimes causes that. Sometimes we're stubborn, we're selfish, we're idolaters, we have too many things we like, and we don't want God to get in the middle of that. There's all kinds of things that can hinder us. There's pride that can happen, rebellion on our parts. There's control, whether we like it or not. We want to make sure everything's in a row. But you think about it. You know what those sins are? Those are sins that separate us from God in the first place. They separate us from God in the first place. Now, when you have someone over for dinner, I'm not sure what that looks like to you, but if you don't know the person, usually it's more of a formal setting. Sometimes they bring a gift because they bring sometimes a bottle of wine, or they bring a gift of some sort. Most people tell me, bring your appetite, so I bring my appetite when I go out to somebody's house for dinner. But this is the thing is, we're not sure, and we get to know the person. That's what we're trying to do. It can be a formal setting, but it's getting to know them and things like that. But other times, let's look at this for a minute. If you go out to eat with a good friend, what do? You already know each other, so what do? It's not superficial relationship. It's not just sort of a surface level thing. It's your friend. You start digging deeper. When I go out with people that I know, especially people within the church, when we go out, we start digging deep. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We start digging deep about our lives and our relationship with God and what's happening in there. There's something that's going on, and we get to know each other even more. We know each other even better than when we started. Why don't we do that with our relationship with God, our relationship with the Holy Spirit? The Lord wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. You see, the Holy Spirit knows us well. We already know that. But because we don't know the Holy Spirit as well, and this is a concern, we kind of hold him at arm's length, like that relative that we don't want to invite to dinner. I'm not sure what to do with him. Let's look at John 16 for a second. John 16, 13, I want to read. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Listen to this. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Again, that unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 through 7. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 16, the word forever defined in verse 16 there, the word forever defined means forever. It means that. It also means unbroken age. It means perpetuity, which means there's no closing. It just keeps on going of time, eternity. So the helper is supposed to continue on. The Holy Spirit is supposed to work forever. John 14, 22, starting verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answers him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that. He will come to him and make our home with him. Behold, he's standing at the door and knocking, and if anyone hears his voice, he'll come and will come and open the door. He'll come into him and sup with him. Here it says, I will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He wants to be a part of our household. He wants us to be a part of our lives. That relationship is given for our benefit and our good, and to make his home with us. Now, there's about 70 aspects of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And I'm not going to go down the whole list, I'm just going to read off a few of them. But it was outstanding how much the Holy Spirit does. He's with us forever. The Holy Spirit's with us forever, like I just mentioned before. He brings truth. Truth is a good thing. He brings truth to us. He abides. He abides with us. He will be in you. He will bring things to your remembrance. He sanctifies you. He can make you more like Jesus. He guides you. He speaks. He gives gifts. He empowers. He anoints. He helps you understand between good and evil, that discerning heart to know what's going on. He leads us into worship. He flows like a river out of the spirit of man. Look at the interaction of the Holy Spirit here. He prays. He's a sword. He searches deep. He washes us. He justifies. He brings liberty. I like that. I like liberty. He gives new birth. He seals us. We're sealed in the Holy Spirit. Those are just a few of the things. So the Holy Spirit's important. Do you think so? Yeah. So just as you get to know people and visitors that come to our church, and we reach out to them and we're real nice to them and we're good at that stuff. You're good at that stuff. Do that with the Holy Spirit. Do that with the Holy Spirit. It's some rocket science here. Talk to him. Reading the word about him. Ask him to work in your life. Have a meal with him, so to speak, and reap the benefits, because that's important. But if with all of that, how we can relate to the Holy Spirit is very important, because it's what happens after that when we start living in the world and living in the midst of all of us together, that has a real impact on us. So we want to look at the third point. The third point, the Holy Spirit refreshes our relationship with one another. The Holy Spirit refreshes our relationship with one another. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. We need fruit. Don't provoke anybody or envy anybody. No, don't envy this, except my good looks. Don't envy any of this. Don't envy one another because you don't know what other people are going through. You don't want to be like them. You don't want what they have. You don't know what their life is like. We don't want to envy one another. We don't want to be conceited. We don't want to provoke one another. This fruit thing that he's presenting to us is going to help us with this so that we can relate to one another. I want to define the word fruit in Greek. The word fruit, it's fruit of the trees or vines or the fields. But what it is it originates from something that has an effect or a result. So if you plant a seed, you get something out of it. That's what happens. But if you do something, you also get something out of it. Like the workday. We were able to do things and we saw things happen. We saw things improve. We saw things come out of it and we don't have weeds anymore. If you think about literal fruit, if you think about your favorite fruit, think about your favorite fruit for a second. What's your favorite fruit? I like so many, it's hard. But I think of, a lot of times when I think of fruit, I think of blueberries. I like blueberries. It brings me to the back when we went climbing up a mountain and we picked blueberries. And just brought 8 more of them than we brought back home, but we brought blueberries back. And it just brings a thought of something special in there. So when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, we want to think of something special. Why do you think fruit? Why do they call it fruit with that double meaning? Because it's measurable results. With fruit, there's measurable results, but it's also refreshing and satisfying. There's nothing like a nice Macintosh apple in the fall. There's measurable results. You get that satisfaction in that. But if you're planting or imparting or trying to build something, there's also the measurable results. And it's internally working within us, but it also affects those people around us. And that's why we want to look at this. So here's the list of fruit, and I want to look at these briefly, and then we'll wrap up here. Fruit, relationally, we want to look at this. So we have love, which is agape love. It's brotherly love, it's affection. It means goodwill towards someone, love and benevolence. It's looking out towards something else. It's not just inwardly looking. You look at joy, it has to do with gladness, but it also, not just the gladness we feel inside, but the gladness people get when they see us. That's what it also means there. It's not just joy because you're happy. It's not a selfish joy. It imparts joy to other people. Peace, a state of national tranquility. Exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Peace between individuals, this harmony, this security, this safety, this prosperity. That's what peace means. Patience means endurance or constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. Long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. Slowness in avenging wrongs. I was driving down the highway the other day, and I go to pass a car, and there was a guy that was coming up, but he wasn't speeding up really quick like some of them do. And I just got in the lane, and I passed, and this guy came up behind me, and he went over about 3 lanes and then came back in front of me and started to slow down like I did something wrong. And I'm thinking, this guy, he's not slowness in avenging anything. He wanted to get me right then and there. He wanted to be a goof. He wanted to be a goof. He wanted to be an illustration of a sermon. That's what he wanted to be. Okay, so we patience, which is slowness in avenging wrongs. And then kindness, it's moral goodness, it's integrity, it's tolerance towards others. That's what kindness is. Goodness is being honorable of heart and life. That's what goodness. Faithfulness is a conviction of the truth of anything that you have a strong belief in, if it's true, a conviction and a commitment or a belief in the man's relationship to God. You know, that's how you would apply it, with the included idea of trust, a holy fervor of being born of the faith and joined with it. And it's the character of one that can be relied upon. That's the faithfulness, the character of being relied upon. And then you have gentleness, which is a mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit, a meekness, self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions. The Spirit here works in us. We're not building this up in ourselves. We can look at this wrongly if we're not careful. So we have all this spiritual fruit here. It's a big spiritual fruit salad. If you like fruit salad, it's a big, has every fruit in there imaginable. But the point is, it's relational. It's relational. God says we need these things to function, to get along, and to show the power of God. How many of us can think that being the sinners that we are, that we can fulfill that list of fruit? We can't do that. We can't do that. It's given us to him to help us on how we can relate to him and how we can relate to one another. Let me skip some things here. You know, we need this. We need this because if we don't, spiritual fruit is to keep us from being, well, it keeps us from being ourselves. Spiritual fruit helps us from being ourselves because, you know, frankly, sometimes I'm not that nice. Frankly, sometimes I'm not that satisfied. Sometimes I'm not that kind. But that's God's desire for us to be kind and have the fruit. It says in the end of that passage, it says, against such things there is no law. There are two things we need to understand here. First of all, the list is not a legalistic list that we have to obey and we have to behave in such a way because we can't, again, we can't do it. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a list. It's not a legalistic thing. It's we're not going to get judged on whether we're loving enough because we are saved by grace. But we also want to understand this. It's not a list to evaluate somebody else. And a lot of times we'll look around and we'll say, well, that's not very loving. They weren't very caring. They weren't very kind. And that's not what the list is there for either. We don't judge somebody else because of the list of fruit. We get excited about what we see because we're no longer under the law. We are under grace. Saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. We have to recognize that these things are spirit implemented. And we need him. The Holy Spirit works these things in us. Therefore, we need to look at him. We need to get to know him. We need to ask him. We need to watch him. We need to use what is given to us. Those are the things that build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is pray. And I want to ask the Lord to help us to realize that there is many times far more a lot more that God has for us. Let me just put it that way. There's a lot more in the Spirit that God has for us. And we need to ask ourselves a question. Are we putting any aspect of God in a box? Are we putting the Holy Spirit in a box? The one who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the universe who wants to work things in us so that we can be a better witness, an example, and to glorify him in a world that is, frankly, very tumultuous right now. So I want to pray for us and ask the Lord to help us to see him in a new light and to maybe just say, you know, all the things I did believe, maybe there's something there that I put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit, or maybe I didn't put enough emphasis on the Holy Spirit in working in my life. So let's pray. So Father, right now I just ask that you would help us, that you'd help us to look at our lives. Lord, that you would give us a sense, not just a feeling, but a sense spiritually of where we have put you in the box, where we have put the Spirit in a limited part of our lives, where we have looked at our relationships, and where we have seen, Lord, there's fruit in our lives that are frankly not they're old fruit, they're soft fruit, they're squishy fruit, and we need some freshness back in our lives. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to come to you so that we can experience the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the goodness and the kindness and the self-control, and realize there's no law about this. This is a relational experience. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Pour out your Spirit in our lives. Fill us, guide us, direct us, comfort us, care for us as we walk out our faith in you. And we give you the praise for it. We give you the glory for it. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.